Seeking the Lord's help, I will draw your attention to a word that you will find in the first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 5. I will read verses 6 and 7. First Peter, chapter 5, and I will read verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Which is the seventh verse, and more especially, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, dear friends, without seeking to draw any attention upon myself, I just want to mention this, that this word, for he careth for you, I believe the Lord helped me to go on the 3rd of October 1966 to Heathfield Chapel. I was asked to take the morning service. After many months of waiting upon the Lord, this was the word, for he careth for you. And I just want to mention a word or a hymn that the old deacon there, Mr. Owen Comfort, some of you may remember him, gave out, and it was this: oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. And friends, it's still with me, and probably still with many of you. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Well, we're still in it, dear friends, to know and do his will. What is a word that perhaps we should try and bring before you here? This word of Peter, who was writing to the elders, he himself being an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. You see, all that Peter had gone through was sanctified to him, that he was enabled to write these words to these elders, their responsibilities and duties over the flock. And so he says, well, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may be exalted, that he may exalt you in due time. We find that, dear friends, through all the scriptures, as a number, I could mention Joseph, Hannah, David, Daniel, Esther, and a multitude of others, Paul the Apostle. And dear Peter here, he had to learn some very painful and bitter lessons. But he brings before the church here, or these elders, the good shepherd, the shepherd. He speaks of a shepherd. And who is this shepherd? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And just very briefly, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Friends, have we got not that witness? Have we got not that hope that he careth for you, careth for us? And felt that your deacon should kindly read for me that well-known portion of Elijah, and how we see there the Lord's care over his over the prophet, his dear servant Elijah, for he careth for you. But the brook dried up and so on, and everything seemed barren, and there didn't seem to be any hope. The widow woman and the son, in a dying with that prospect of death before them, and yet how the Lord cared for them in a remarkable way. For he careth for you. And there is that well-known word, the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And I don't want to wrongly spiritualize the word of God, but I just feel this, the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil. And when we think of meal or wheat, we think, do we not, of bread, which may bring us to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the bread of life. And the oil, the Holy Spirit. Oil represents, in a spiritual sense, the Holy Spirit. Now that will never fail, dear friends. The cruse of oil, the barrel of meal, Christ himself, the Holy Spirit himself, will never fail. But it comes to a test. And Peter knew that these elders would be brought to the test. He brings us to the test and tries us by his law, then brings us to the promised rest from which we comfort draw. Oh, friends, there is an inexhaustible supply from the Lord. But it may be so often in the path, in your own path, it seems as though the brook has dried up. And you wonder where the scene will end. You wonder how you're going to get on. Well, Peter well knew the path that these elders would need the grace of God. He says, does he not, that wonderful verse, that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Peter knew the path. He'd been through the mill. As you know, sadly, he denied his dear master. That was not Peter, really. Oh, that was Satan working upon Peter. He was in Satan's sieve. And dear friends, there may be some of you here this morning who are feelingly in Satan's sieve. Or if not now, you've known it and do know it. Satan is a crafty foe. He plays on all the weaknesses and fears of the Lord's people. So no stones to cast at our first parents. I mean, Satan tempted. But here then, Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I don't want to speak wrongly of the scriptures, but you think of the word casting. And Peter was a fisherman, as you know. He knew what it was to cast the net. Indeed, I think we read in the 21st chapter of John, where Peter said, I go fishing. And they said, we also go with thee. I don't want to wrongly interpret the word of God, but it seems almost that Peter said, well, now, it's all over now. I can forget this and forget that. I go fishing. He didn't catch anything. I toured all night, was it, where I didn't catch anything. But he was to cast his care upon the Lord Jesus. And Jesus was to speak to Peter, and they were to, of course, they caught net, they caught the fish, and Peter was being taught again to cast his care upon the Lord Jesus. And Peter, you know, was not going to get away with that. If I may just kindly say to you, my friend, you're not going to get away with it, you know. If the Lord has a purpose of grace for you to do. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. He wasn't going to preach. Why? We don't know. Did he fear? Was it through fear? Was it through unbelief? But he didn't get away with it, friends, did he? No. The word of the Lord came unto him the second time. Go and preach the preaching that I bid thee, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, each one here, if you're taught of God, you have your cares. Well, everybody has cares. But here, this was concerning the gospel, concerning the truth of God, and casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And so Peter, in John 21, was to hear the word of God. What was it? And Peter was asked, lovest thou me? Of course the Lord knew that Peter loved him. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. The Lord knows that you love him, my friends. Lovest thou me more than thee? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. That was the commission for Peter. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a wonderful word this is, dear friends, for he careth for you. He takes care of his people. He watches over his people. See, Peter had experienced this when he was caught in the snare of Satan. What was the Lord Jesus' care over him? It was this, dear friends. He said, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, change, strengthen thy brethren. See how the Lord overruled even the designs of Satan. The Lord overruled these designs for the furtherance of the gospel. The apostle writing in one place in one of the epistles, he says, the things that have happened unto me are rather for the furtherance of the gospel. So, what is your path? Or my path? The Lord knows every need. We have it through the scripture, of course, don't we? We have it in that portion that was read, and later on with the prophet. He fled from Jezebel and came under that juniper tree. I remember Mr. Ramsbottom saying once here, he said, are there any juniper trees in Sussex? But you see, the prophet Elijah was a man, wasn't he? He was a man of like passions, like as we are, as we read in the Word of God. He prayed, and the Lord answered his prayer. Oh, his work was not done, dear friends, when he was under that juniper tree. No, he went in the strength of the Lord. I think it was 40 days. Oh, my friends, you know, the Lord has a purpose. And you may think, my friends, some of you, what is the purpose of my life? Why am I here? Oh, there is a purpose. But what a mercy it is if the Lord gives grace, and you need grace, to know and to do his will. Are you exercised about this? Some of you, are you really exercised? Or do you just come to the Lord's house and good it is, and well, I can go on with my life now? And like Peter, he said, I go fishing. And they say, we also go with thee. I don't know whether we want him to return to his old work, or of course it was need of fish for food. But you see, dear friends, if the Lord has a purpose of grace, we need grace to know and do his will. What is the Lord's will? Are you concerned what the Lord's will is for you? I've mentioned this before, and it may be here, I've mentioned it. Mr. Laver of Rotherfield, some of you remembered him. He was preaching in Upfield. He was blind then. He preached from Braille. And his text was in Acts of the Apostles, I think, when Paul was leaving Ephesus or something like that. And his text was this, the will of the Lord be done. And if I remember rightly, he spoke of his decreed will. His decreed will. What the Lord had decreed from all eternity will come to pass. His decreed will. Have you seen the working out of it? Are you looking for the working out of it? Are you walking, working out of it? The second way that he spoke was his permissive will. Dear friends, this is a great deep, isn't it? Maybe great deep to you this morning, that what the Lord has permitted in your life. And it may be through unbelief. It may be through your own unbelief. And Jonah-like, you fled from the Lord, his permissive will. But I couldn't think of the third way which Mr. Labour preached. But I was sitting in Uppington Chapel one morning. I think Mr. Warren was preaching. But anyway, it just came to me like this. The third one was this, his revealed will. His revealed will. And I said at the beginning, you see, you may walk in darkness. But I do ask you, my friend, young and old, are you concerned about what the will of the Lord is in your life? See what the Lord's will here was for Peter. See what the Lord's will here was for the elder. That they had to learn some very bitter lessons. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. And friends, you never know this exhortation. You never know it unless you're humble. And only the Lord can humble you under his mighty hand. What grace is needed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand, that he may exhort you in due time. This man's pride wants to be exalted. But it's when the Lord will exalt in due time. Casting. Well, really, what is it? Throwing yourself upon God. Leaning upon him. We have in the Canticles, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon our beloved, casting all your care. Home cares, family cares, health cares, and spiritual cares. But here, what the Lord's will is. Let me say this, dear friends, to you and to myself this morning. When we think of the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will that you do this or that, then you have every right to cast your care upon him. See, the word of God just doesn't speak to all and sundry. He wasn't speaking to all and sundry here. He was speaking to these elders. So they had every right. You see, dear friends, just think of this. You know, I think of our late pastor, and you know, when he baptized and then when he received one into the church, he would say something like this, that you have come to all the rights and privileges of the Word of God, or the Church of God. And that is a part of joining a church. You have the rights and privileges of the Church of God. There are rights, responsibilities, and privileges. But whatever it is, dear friends, what grace is needed, day by day, hour by hour, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you look back over your life, perhaps, If the Lord is your remembrancer, you may say, well, I believe he has cared for me. He has watched over me. He has helped me. Despite all my sins and failings and unbelief, for he careth for you. You see, as I said just earlier on, he's speaking here of the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd being the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for his sheep. I don't know how sheep feel, but of course, with an animal sense, they depend upon the shepherd, don't they, for their food and for their care. No, the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, may the Lord in his mercy lead us experimentally through the 23rd Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then his cup was filled, wasn't it? We know, dear friends, it's a mercy if the cup is filled. I think old Mr. Pollington, the deacon at Rotherfield, used to say, well, it's a good thing if we can get a little in the saucer. But you know, to have your cup filled, surely goodness and mercy shall follow and attend me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that your desire, friends? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I remember a dear old lady, Mrs. Kane, and she sat in the back seat over there. Just remember her, she was one of these old ladies with the long black dresses, the end of the old Victorian era, I suppose it was, era. And I suppose she had a blessing. And I can't quote the hymn, but she sat in her seat of wanting to go home, and somebody said to her, aren't you going home? And she said, my soul would sit and sing. I can't quote the hymn, but it's a hymn. She wanted to sit and sing there. My willing soul would sit and sing. There's a hymn about her. She was so blessed. She didn't want to leave the house of God. Now that's a rare thing, isn't it, friend? Casting all your care upon him. Him. Peter well knew who him was. He knew the shepherd. He loved the good shepherd. And this is the test, dear friends. And of course, Newton questioned thing. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And yet, of course, he knew that he did love the Lord. But he came into those places. But what is your spiritual experience? Do you love the Lord or no? Well, I take it, dear friends, and I hope it will be so, that you shall hear this morning, you love the Lord. But it's more than that. Because the psalmist says in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. And in that Psalm 116, he would pay his vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. He would take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, dear friends, it is right, if one is favoured to give thanksgiving and praise to God, it is right to do this. But Peter knew by experience what some of these elders would have to pass through, and that they would need much growing. There was the care of the church. There were many cares. The apostle speaks of many cares beside, he says, the care of all the churches. Now, casting, believing by faith, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You may be in darkness. You say, well, how can I cast my care upon him if I'm walking in darkness? If I do not feel his presence, well, the just shall live by faith. No other way in which the just shall live, those who are justified, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but unto them who believe unto the saving of the soul. Now, Peter knew the temptations, the trials, the oppositions that perhaps these elders would go through. You may see, and I don't want to speak wrongly, you may see your pastor in the pulpit and other God-sent ministers, and they may have spiritual freedom. You don't know the other side of it. And also the godly wives, you know, only they know the other side of it. But this doesn't just, I believe, refer only. I believe it is all those who fear God. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's not easy. Jonah did, didn't he? As we refer to Jonah, oh, how he had to humble himself before the Lord. Oh, how he had to plead before the Lord for deliverance. He said, yet will I look again toward his holy temple. Why? Because he'd been disobedient. What does this, dear apostle, say? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you, be ye holy as I am holy. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian, friend. But the Lord knows the way. He's the good shepherd. He's gone before his sheep. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. There's no way, dear friends, but what the Lord will humble a sinner if he's going to exhort them. And what is the greatest exhortation? Well, it's heaven itself, isn't it? It's heaven itself. And this is what these elders needed. Very briefly, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He is the adversary, the devil. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth you. So Peter here is speaking about none other than his master, his saviour, that the Lord cared for him. Well, as help, very briefly, in what way does the Lord care for him? He cares for their souls. He cares for their souls. And Peter, has some very bitter lessons. But in what way did the Lord Jesus care for their souls? He laid down his life upon the tree at Calvary. He suffered unbearable suffering, yea, his own heart's blood. That's how the care was. He cared for their souls. He laid down his life that sinners might live. But he was raised again for their justification. I tell you one thing, dear friends, I'll be honest with you. I thought my text this morning would be a word such as this: all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. But you know, I had to leave it this morning. I just didn't feel I could cope with that. I had to venture upon this. Venture on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust in truth. But how he cared for them, that he rose again for their justification. And you know, there was a word for Peter, wasn't there? Go to my disciples and go to Peter. There was a special word for Peter. Why for Peter? Because Peter had denied his Lord and he went out and wept bitterly. Go and tell Peter. Oh, there was a word for Peter. Now, beloved friends, some of you may come and say, is there a word for me? You ever come into this chapel feeling like this? Is there a word for me? Well, dear friends, you know it'll come in his own time and way. Oh, there is a word, and the Lord will give you that word. That all power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's the only way a poor sinner can live, believing upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, being justified by faith, and having peace with God through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He cared for them when he was on the cross at Calvary. Think of Isaiah 63. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them and carried them all the days of old. He carried them all the days of old. And friends, you know, if we are in that covenant, if the Lord has done that for us, then we have every right to the promises of God, to cast our care upon him, for he cares for you. There's another word, isn't there, in Psalm 55, I think it is, where David had a very bitter part with Ahithophel, who turned against him. And, David was walking in a very bitter path there. He was to cast it all upon the Lord. He was to cast his care upon the Lord. And you find so often in the midst of some of the Psalms, a prayer of David, a prayer for help, a prayer for blessing. And this is what David wanted. He wanted and needed the Lord to help him. And of course we have the Roman figures here. I remember the old Mr. Luther Hook, the deacon, when he came to the desk, he said, "Friends," he said, "I can't read these old Roman figures, you know. But nevertheless, we shall find a reader." But so he came to this. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Well, that was what David had to do. That was a bitter path, wasn't it? They went to the house of God together, had sweet counsel together. Oh, my friends, you know, there's only one we can trust in, and that is in the Lord. Well, I must shortly come to a close. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Not easy to do this, but it's the Lord's work. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." He cares for your soul. He cares for you. What a word. What a word. May the Lord bless these few remarks, dear friends, and forgive anything that I may have said amiss. Amen.